like when it's raining, we get really quiet. You notice that? Like in the lobby, usually people are like, ah, and today it was like really somber. They're like, it's raining. We must be quiet. All right. So we are wrapping up our series called Good Fruit. And really the whole purpose of this is that healthy things produce healthy things. You can tell a tree if it's healthy, if like the fruit is actually healthy. If you don't go to the apple and say, oh, this apple is so healthy. Way to go, apple. I'm so proud of you, right? You would say, well, this tree is strong. This tree is beautiful. This tree is healthy. When it comes out of its life, we can actually prove that it's healthy by the fruit that it's bearing. And the same way as followers of Jesus, like we really want to be healthy. We want the things that come out of our life to be good and to be beautiful. And we realize and we believe that like what makes us healthy is that we are Jesus-looking people, that we're a Jesus-looking person. And when we are becoming more like Jesus, funny, what comes out of our life might be more of Jesus. I had some friends that, one of the examples I use in this is like, hey, when you get squeezed in life, like what comes out? Is it more of Chris? Is it or more of Jesus, right? And that very next day, I believe, my friends, I had to bring one of their little daughter into, urgent care, right, for something. And, you know, urgent care is a great place, and sometimes your urgency and their urgency are at different levels, right? You understand? And so they started getting a little bit squeezed, and they're like, okay, we really wanted Jesus to come out, so we're not going to like, hey, what's going on? You know, like inwardly all the thoughts you're thinking, right? And then they had to go to Walgreens, and they forgot to call to make the hospital forgot to call to make the prescription, and so they had to wait, and they went back, and then they forgot a second time, so they had to come back, and they're like, all we want to do is just drive our car through the Walgreens. That's all we wanted to do, right? Just, ah! And they had to keep going back and say, okay, healthy people don't ram cars through buildings. All right, Jesus would not do that. And yeah, okay. So anyways, like the point is that we really want to be a Jesus-looking people. We looked at like beauty. Does beauty come out of our lives? We've talked about like the good life of being someone who's filled with passion or purpose and fun. Like a follower of Jesus should have that. And today we're talking about love. Right? Love. We all love love. We love to love. We have songs about love. We have t-shirts about love. We have tattoos that are all about love, right? We are big fans of love. And really why that is because God is love. That's like who God is. Like if you could like the most simple thing you could do, if you're trying to describe to like my 5-year-old daughter, Kira, if I had to describe to her, like what does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? I think you could sum it up all in one thing of love. Right? Jesus says the most important commandment is what? To love God and love people, period. That's not in the Bible, but we kind of say it is. So anyways, right? It's like love God, love people, period. That sums up what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it's important. Like, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. It's important that the way we view God matters, because how we view God, how we picture him in our mind, how we picture how he responds, like, shapes the way we see the world. It shapes the way we read the Bible. So God is love. The lens that we look as we read the Bible is love. As you read even like those weird stories in the Old Testament, you're like, that really happened? Or you're like, is this the right Bible? Right? It's like, it's out of love. The way we look at Jesus is out of love. The way we read Revelation and there's the dragon and the beast and the writing on it, right? And it's like you look at it through the lens of love. It's critically important. Because when we put on those other lenses, well, then it distorts the way that we view God. So if God is love, then he made us, right? We believe that he created us. He made us out of love, that we were forged out of that furnace of love. And if we're made out of love, then we were hardwired to love, that you were created to love. You see, you don't get to choose if you love or not. You really don't. You get to choose what you love, but you don't get to choose love. Like, you were made to run on love from the smallest part of our being is still meant to experience love, to give love, and to receive love. You can even, like, just love to not love, right? That's still loving. Right? I hate love. I don't want to love anyone. I love that I hate love. That's still, right? You're still loving. You can choose. Imagine like this, right? Imagine that your heart has an arrow. Right? And that arrow could go to a lot of different things at different times. And really what we're made for is to experience heaven. Jesus talks about all throughout the Gospels and throughout the Bible talks about there's the kingdom of heaven, there's the kingdom of God. And our heart just longs to be with God in perfection, in wholeness, right? Like it's something that we are created to experience. So like our arrows, like ideally wants to go to like the highest love. I was going to say the Trump love, not Donald Trump, but like the Trump love, like the best one, right? And no jokes. So anyways, like you want the highest love. And that's a great thing, right? Like if I said to you like, hey, like, Wade, do you want to experience heaven? I don't know too many people say, no, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'll just take a little bit less. So if we want that, our arrows point towards that, but then we hear like the words of Jesus saying, hey, if you want to come follow me, like just give up everything. Like this one rich guy shows up to Jesus. Jesus, I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. He's like, awesome. That is a great thing. Hey, just sell everything you own and follow me. Jesus says, hey, pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Come follow me. He talks another time, like leave your mother and your father and follow me. Okay, Jesus. Like the way into Jesus, the way you into life with Jesus, and the way into this good and beautiful life, Jesus says really where it starts is we have to be willing to deny ourselves. Like we really have to be willing to deny ourselves and let God be God and let him be like the highest truth, the highest love. And you know, as a follower of Jesus, like that sounds really good. It sounds really good. Sometimes the practicality of that is like, I kind of want to win today, God, right? Like if you and God are in a wrestling match, who wins, right? It's like ideally, God, you're going to like, okay, God, you win. I'm going to like follow you. I'm going to obey you. But there's also times like, well, God, I just kind of want to win this time, right? Like the arrow's going for heaven, but sometimes it's costly. Sometimes it's hard. Like to really give love to like a friend that has just been kind of a jerk. Like the whole idea of like forgiveness, it's so costly, right? It's hard. The idea of like really loving our enemy is just a really cute little thing you can put on a pillow, right? To really do it is really hard. And there's times where that arrow's pointing towards the kingdom, but all of a sudden we see something over here and like, oh, hey, like my career, I can actually get a lot of purpose and significance from my career. And again, career, big fan of careers. Keep working, stay in school, believe in your dreams, right? So when we find life in those other things, we do get to experience some really positive things. We even get to experience some things that we would experience with God in it, right? God, like satisfaction, that there's identity, there's value, there's worth. It could be like in your body and pleasure. It could be in like any Pokemon, right? You name it. You could put your arrow and find life in it. When we do that, when we put our arrow on something that we're settling for, the thing that we miss out on is really like the highest love. And we have like, we settle, we tolerate, or really another word that we use here is we like worship something else. And the reality is that like you become what you love. You really do. You become what you love. You become what you worship. And we were, all of us, the same way, we're all created to love, we're all created to worship. You're going to worship something, right? And whatever you worship, anything you worship, anything at all, there always demands a sacrifice, no matter what it is, right? If you, like, worship or you love, let's say, like, your high school sports team, right? And you're, like, 35, and all you do is talk about Carlton. That's me, right? All right? If that's when I relive my dreams of averaging 1.2 points a game, all right? I average more fouls than points. If that's like, oh, it was the best, right? The cost of that is I'm not going to be very relevant, all right? If you worship your career, you're going to become more and more like that person, maybe consumed with time. What's the cost? I'm going to compromise maybe in some of my values. I'm going to compromise on maybe some family values. I'm going to do whatever I can in order to get what? More of my career. Again, that is not a horrible thing. But when we let God be the highest priority, we let him be our highest love, it puts everything else in its right perspective. Then I can experience life in my job. Then I can celebrate 1.2 points a game. Way to go, right? It puts everything in its right place when we put our love in the proper order, when we put the highest love in the purpose and the person of Jesus. But this is incredibly, at times, incredibly hard. Because it's so much easier to just let the arrow go to something else. It's like when you go to the store, like Nikki and I, we just don't go grocery shopping anymore together. Well, she says she won't go grocery shopping anymore because she's like, hey, let's get this one. I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on. This one's 30 cents less. And it's about the same thing, right? I'm all about, like, we're going to save a little bit of 30 cents. Like Shasta soda, it's cola, right? Coca-Cola, they're both colas, all right? It's the same thing. We can, and she's like, I'm done with you, all right? I'm done. I'm just absolutely done shopping with you. Because it's easier sometimes just to go to that place. But as followers of Jesus, we experience, you can experience a good and beautiful life of when we lay down our life, we put our highest love in the kingdom of God, we put our highest love in the person of Jesus. Then it changes everything. But how do we do that? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. You know, see, like, love here is not just this the schmoopy kind of love, right? You guys know the schmoopy kind of love? I think I did this before. Like, you're schmoopy. No, you're schmoopy, right? Like, it's more than just this emotional high. Like, this love, like, is like this, it's demanding, right? It encompasses every single part of your being. When you are young and you fall in love, you do stupid stuff, right? And one person laughed. The rest of you didn't do stupid stuff. I did some stupid stuff, right? Why would I bike every day in the summer, you know, like 7 miles just so I can, like, stop by Nikki's house and say, hey, how you doing? I'm all right. Okay, I'm going to go now. All right. Right? Like, why do we still lift really heavy things, all right? Like, we should not be lifting this thing. Like, hey, can we move the couch? We should get some friends. Oh, I got it, honey. Don't worry. You know, you look it right in the eyes as you do it. You're like, ugh. You see that? I can't lift that. No, not at all. Why do we do that? Because something inside of you, a deep kind of love, you're willing to do anything. You're willing to run through brick walls just to be with that person. Like, how do we grow in that kind of love? Because, like, the end goal is great. End goal is great, to be with Jesus. Man, it is hard. What we're going to be talking about today is how do we learn how, like, that arrow move towards the person of Jesus? Like, what things can we actually do, practically do, so that the good fruit of our life can be one of love, kindness, compassion. Instead, because my small group, we meet on Thursday nights, and we were just talking about, like when people hear the word, like, Christian, and John 13 says, Jesus says, hey, this new command I give to you, like, people know that you're like my people, my disciples, my students, my friends, by what? The way you love. So when you hear the word Christian, it's like one of the first words that pop in your head, oh, people who love. Right? I bet a lot of you right now, when you hear the word Christian, and maybe you are a Christian, right? Like me, I'm one of those. I'm a Christian, right? I'm a follower of Jesus. When I hear someone say, I'm a Christian, I usually think, oh, judgmental. Right? And I'm on the team. I'm on the team. I am one of those people. Like, we think of so many other things other than love. What would it look like as followers of Jesus? Let's just use Cloquet Vineyard. What would it look like when people hear, oh, you go to Cloquet Vineyard? Like, the first thing they think of, that's a people that love. And they love well. They love well. That's my dream. I want to do it together. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, I believe. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. And we have Bibles in the back. If you want to grab one, you can use your phone. If you can get on the worldwide internet. And I'm going to pray as you find that verse. Please join me. So God, we want to love. And we want to love well. And I thank you that you loved us. You loved us first. You're the one who, like, activated this whole thing. Thank you that you made us out of love. Thank you that everything you do is out of love, from being able to experience beauty to even experiencing of how we can grow. So we say yes to you. And I pray as we talk through this, it won't just be just a fun little time. It's not just a bunch of little one-liners. But, Jesus, we can actually, even for a moment, experience your love. And I pray for my friends here today. Pray for my friends who are listening to this on the podcast. It's just, that's not what they're experiencing. I pray for my friends who are lonely. And pray for my friends who are grieving. I pray for my friends who just feel absolutely lost. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, will you come? And will you bring love to the doorstep of their lives? And we welcome you. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So where we start is Paul says, right before this, actually, Paul's writing about how like you shouldn't talk in a in a slanderous way. He gives like some really practical ways of how we can just be kind people. Like this is what healthy people do. They don't talk behind their backs. Like they speak with honor. He says like don't steal. That you should write that down. Don't steal stuff, right? And then he goes chapter 5 by saying, hey, and you should like walk in love. Why does he use the word walk? Because why doesn't he say like run? Why not like skip in the way of love? Why not like somersault in the way of love? You know, in the Bible, whenever they say walk, it's a way of, it's just what you do. It's your nature. When you're walking, you don't have to think, right? You don't have to think at all. You're like, I want to walk somewhere, and you do it, right? You're not like, I don't have to be like, okay, left leg up, all right, ground control, it is landed. Okay, don't fall over. Look cool while you're walking, right? You ever try doing the cool walk? You ever realize that you just don't walk that cool, and then you try changing, and you're like, how you doing? Yeah, totally, right? Walking is, you don't have to think at all. It takes no energy. And he's saying, hey, as followers of Jesus, walk in love. That's just who you are. You don't have to think about, hey, am I going to love this person? Am I going to be judgmental of this person? Am I going to be selfish right now? You're like, no, I'm walking. It is just absolutely what I do. You know, if it was like somersault in love, when's the last time you've done a somersault? Yeah, you're laughing. It's me, like probably third grade, right? And I for whatever reason, I am the person, and you don't know this about me. I'm kind of like the safety police, all right, of myself, all right? If you want to do a somersault, Mickey, go ahead. I'm happy for you, right? But for me, I always think like worst case scenario. Like I'm going to do a somersault, land on my spine, it's going to break, and then I'm going to die, all right? That's just, even as a young kid, I'm like, you guys do that. I'm not going to jump those stairs, all right? That's who I was. Like a somersault, no one's ever just like, you're walking, all of a sudden they do a somersault, and they're like, whoa, what just happened? How did I do that? I did not do that on purpose. That just came out of me, right? No one does that. A somersault takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of muscles that I don't want to use, all right? You have to, in order to do a somersault, walking is just normal. Walking, you don't get celebrated. You know, unless you're like a little baby, all right? And you're like, hey, you're walking. It's not like, Haley, you walked. Yay, way to go. Right? There's nothing really special about it. You know, like when I, as a grown man, right, as an adult, there's some things that I do that like I realize normal humans, normal adults do on a regular basis, like making the bed, right? When one of the three times I did it yesterday, when I make the bed, all right, that's just a natural thing, but maybe you're like this as well. I like walk into the living room. I'm like, hey, so what are you doing, Nikki? Yeah, you're not too busy. Yeah, I just made the bed. No big deal. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I did that. That was me. Yep. I have to tell like on average like 5 people that I made the bed, and it's like and trying to be nonchalant about it. Yeah, you know, like that's when you walk, there's no celebration, and that's what Paul's inviting us into. What would it look like? What would it look like just to love? Because I don't know about you, I have to put some time and energy in loving. Like when it comes to like parenting, I really have to like pause, let the filter take control, all right? And say, don't say that. That's therapy, all right? That's you don't really believe that. Don't get angry. And I have to pause and say, yes, I would love to do that. Or no, you cannot drive the car. You are 5, right? That is, like, I mean, that's what I'm going for. That's what I'm shooting for. So then how do we grow in that walk? How do we actually walk? There's 3 simple things that I would like to walk you through. How do we walk in love? The first one of how we actually learn is learning how to love like this is more caught than taught. Learning how to love is more caught than taught. Like, if you really want to grow in anything, right? I use this little slogan for a lot of things. If you want to grow in how to love people, two things. The first one is like catch it. Be around deep, meaningful love. And where we do that, where I would encourage you to start, is like with God. Spend time experiencing God's love. Like, we are busy people, and sometimes the things that we push away are the most life-giving things. Like, when's the last time that you've received love from Jesus? When's the last time that you got really quiet and you slowed down and you just meditated over how God loves you over and over and over again? Like, I have to do this every once in a while. And when I take the time, and we sing a song, says, "You're a good, good father, and I am deeply loved. That's who I am." Like, I will sing that to myself when I feel really, really stressed, because I know that I need to experience God's love. If I'm going to be a man who can love really well, I need to experience that from Jesus first. That's why we worship. We don't just sing a bunch of songs. We don't do Christian karaoke because we're a church and that's what you're supposed to do, right? We do it because we actually get to tell God what we really believe about him, and we get to hear what he loves about us. So that's where you start. Second one is be around people who love. Like, there's a guy named Tom, and when my kids were really, really young, I talk about Tom Green is his name. I talk about him all the time because he was a man where he loved his kids so well. He loved his wife so passionately. You could just, like, he reeked of love. And I realized I have to be around this guy because I want to catch what he's doing. So, like, find someone who loves really, and like invite yourself over to their house for dinner. I just did that, right? I did that Wednesday. I invite myself over for dinner, right? Like, invite yourself over for dinner. Get a free meal. Like, ask them out for coffee. Like, talk to them. Ask them, how do you love like that? Ask a lot of questions. Sometimes we are too Minnesota nice, and we're like, oh, we'll just live my own life, and you live your own life, and I will just cry myself to sleep, and that's it, right? Yeah, don't settle that. Don't settle for the crying yourself to sleep. There's a good life out there. So things are more caught than taught. The next one, where am I right here? The next one is get really familiar with the truth, right? So the first thing is, like, we're going to catch it. We're going to be around it. We're going to experience Jesus. Let it, like, impact us. The next one is, like, what is love? You know, there's this lie, right? That, like, I think, therefore I am. The more education I have, the more I'm willing to change and grow, right? We think if I just read more books about loving, if I just, like, hear another message, listen to another podcast about loving, well, then I'll change, right? It doesn't always work that way, does it? Like, how many times, like, have you heard, like, I'll just say it for you. How many times have I heard, hey, you need to exercise an hour a day. That's really good, right? It's not like you hear that, you're like, whoa, exercise is good for me? Oh, wow, I should probably... I didn't know that. I'm going to take that into account, right? Then what do? You sit down and watch Netflix for 4 hours, right? Sometimes information doesn't always lead to change. But when you get the truth, when you can combine, me and our small group, another friend, we were talking about having our head and our heart connected. When the head and the heart is connected, then truth can absolutely lead to life-giving changes in your life, right? Absolutely changed that. And so, like, you have to get familiar with the truth. And the truth is what? The truth is the Bible. Like, one thing here at the Vineyard that we are we're unapologetically going to say, we are going to consume the Bible. We stand on the Bible. We believe in the Bible. And so, like, what is love? What is love? You hear it at every wedding, and sometimes you hear the same verse twice at a wedding. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. I would encourage you to write down those words. Put them, like, on your mirror, put them in your car, put them, like, on your phone, wherever you're going to see them, like, let the truth come. Because when you know specifically what love is, then you, like, you're at work and all of a sudden someone goes, oh yeah, the boss, what a tool, right? And you're about to say, yeah, and that, like, creepy, weird voice that you do, right? And instead you're like, oh, it does not dishonor. Love does not dishonor. Okay, I want to love. I want to walk in love. I want that response out of my mouth to be love. Holy Spirit, will you come? Show me what it looks like to honor my boss instead of dishonor my boss. Love is patient. Love is kind. How kind am I today? Was I really that kind on my date last night? Was I really kind in the car? Was I really kind to, like, my neighbor? Like, when we get the truth, let God's word just pour over, just be saturated in God's word. Because when we do that, when we know the truth, then we can put our arrow towards saying, I'm going to be a kingdom person. I'm going to be a Jesus-looking person. But if we don't know the truth, then we just are trying harder and just trying to be just nicer people instead of doing it on purpose. So the first one is that, like, things are more caught and taught is how you learn how to walk. Then we have to get familiar with the truth. And the last one is, like, one step at a time. One step at a time. Like, there's perfectionist probably in this crowd, right? And maybe you think, all right, I'm going to, like, be a person of love, and I'm going to be 1 Corinthians, like, through and through. I'm going to walk in love, and you're already, like trying to, be, like, plan out, okay, where's my book tour going to start on being perfect in love, right? Is it going to be in Boston or start in Carleton? More than likely Carleton, right? And you're like, I'll get my business cards, Doctor of Love, because I am perfected it, right? And you go to that perfect place, and then you think, whoa, I can't do that. I'll probably fail. So what do? Shut it down, right? You close up shop. Sometimes we get way too ahead of ourselves saying, I'll never be able to do that. I heard one lady, Eleanor Mumford, who spoke at the women's conference, and she did a leadership talk, and she talked about leaders really just have to be, like, one page ahead in the lesson. Like, if you're a teacher, you really just got to be one page ahead of everyone else. The same way, you just have to be able to say one step. Today, I'm going to love my kids, and I'm going to be patient with them about their shoes. I will not throw the shoes out of the house, right? And then the next one, okay? I'm going to be really kind to my spouse today. I'm going to look her in the eyes, and I'm going to say, you are beautiful. Okay, next step. I'm going to actually, like, work with my clients, and I'm going to try my hardest instead of mailing it in. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. You know, following Jesus sometimes is not, we make it overcomplicated. Sometimes following Jesus isn't like the sexiest thing you can do, right? It really is waking up one step at a time. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people over and over and over again. And when we do this, when we can actually, like, start forming, like, being around people who love, spending time in the love with God, we know what the truth is, and we're willing just to try again. Just one more time. One more time. I'm not going to give up. I fall down. I'm going to get back up. What you're doing is you're creating a new habit. You're creating a new habit. A new way to walk is creating new habits. And I had my Dr. Heather, she was talking to me, probably why I was crying the whole time, but she was telling me about how we have thinking patterns. She goes, imagine that your thinking pattern is like, you're like in a big open field, and there is clear little paths, and, like, there's houses, there's places around, and, like, that's like satisfaction, and that's where I find pleasure, and that's where I find, like, something meaningful. And to get there is, like, a really well-worn path because I think it over and over and over again. Oh, I want to have satisfaction, then I will go to that place. And I don't have to think about it. My brain automatically has gone through this cycle many of times. Well, if I want to change that, I'm going to have to get off that well-worn path and might have to step into, like, the thick brush. And I know I want to get over there where I don't want to be selfish anymore. I want to be humble. But I kind of see it. I think it's out there, but there's no path. I'm going to have to forge a whole new path. And in that path, there's going to be, like, pricklies. You know the pricklies, right? That's what we call them, the pricklies. Oh, pricklies. There's going to be, like, different smells. There's going to be different squirrels. There's, like there's ones out there. They're bigger. I don't like those ones, right? And your brain is telling, everything in your brain is telling you, no, go on this path. You've done it million times before. You know, it's not that bad. It requires no energy. To start a whole new path means I'm going to have to walk back and forth it many times before it's a clear-cut path. Creating a whole new thinking pattern, This is what Paul is saying. Walk in love. It's going to cost something. It's going to be hard, but it's worth it. So where he ends, right? And this is where I end as well. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk, not somersault, in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Another translation says, a sweet-smelling offering, a sweet fragrance, right? Like when Jesus laid down his life, that's how we love, by giving, right? He laid down his life, and it was a sacrifice, and it says that it was a sweet-smelling fragrance. It was a pleasant, it was a good smell. I was reading another pastor, Timothy Keller, and he says, like, when you love, how do you smell? Like, how do you smell? Because when you love, when you sacrifice something, is, like, the end result good? Does it smell good? Does it feel good? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross willingly. He gave himself up. He was mocked and never answered back. He was beaten and he never threw a punch. He was ridiculed and just kept walking faithfully to the cross. Why? So that we could experience life. And it was a sweet fragrance. It was really good. Like when you, let's just use example. You're with your friend and you're like on vacation or you're like on a weekend away and you want to go over here for dinner. And they're like, no, but let's go over here for dinner. And you finally agree to go where the dinner, do you do this? Fine, we'll go where you want to go. And yeah, you're lucky I really love you a whole lot. Eye roll, right? Right? That's like, is that like a sweet fragrance? Right? Is that like, oh, thank you, Chris. You are so kind and humble. Wow, right? You ever done that before where you use your love as a weapon? That's really what it is. Man, I guess I'll do the dishes, even though I do them every single night, right? Like, when you love someone, what should come out of our life, it should actually, like, be good. It should actually be, like, kind and smell positive. Like, here's a great thing, and you maybe have heard this before, but the whole idea of loving is there's intent versus impact. There's intent and there's impact, and someone's backing up right now. They stopped. Thank you. So intent versus impact. So there's a lot. When you're trying to love, especially people that are different than you, when you're trying to love like across differences, when you're trying to love across cultures, when you're trying to love like in your workplace that might feel toxic, and you might say, okay, today or tomorrow morning, I'm going to love. You are going to have to try walking in love. You're going to have to try going through a whole new pattern. And your intent might be to love, but the impact on that person might not feel very loved. They might feel like, why did you just do that? And what we do, right? Classic example. When I first got married to Nikki, in college, this is already, you already know it's going to be a good story, right? In college, we loved each other, right? And we would do stupid things that guys do to show love to one another. Like, you know, like rip the shower curtain off, then throw it somewhere else so they had to run down the hallway, right? Normal things. And so when we first got married, my wife was in the shower, and I'm like, I gotta show her love. And I grabbed a big thing of cold water and I threw it over the top of the shower. And my wife went, wow, Chris, thank you for loving me so much. I'm glad that we can be buddies like your college buddies. No! Well, she says, ah! She screams and she just opens the shower curtain. And we're married, so I won't go there. But anyways, and she just pops up and she goes, Chris, we are not that kind of couple, and puts it right back. It's exactly how it went, right? Exactly how it went. So my intent was like, we're gonna have fun and we're gonna giggle and we're gonna like, right? But the impact, totally different. So in those moments, right? And you in your head, you're probably going through similar scenarios. I could have responded what? Say, well, Nikki, I was just trying to be loving. I was just trying to make friendship. I was just trying to have a good time. Man, why do you got to ruin everything, right? Honestly, have you had this conversation? Maybe with your kid. Maybe with a coworker. Maybe with a friend. Maybe with a spouse. Where you get angry that your love did not land where you wanted it to go. And what do? You put it all on them. Well, you should have just tried harder. I'm being really kind. I'm being really gracious right now. Stop crying. You better shape up your attitude, right? Yeah, you're all laughing because you're like, oh, that's called vacation. Those are my vacation words. That's so true. That's not in my notes. All right, so, but if we can speak love to the impact, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. You make it all about the person. And you're willing to readjust. You're willing to go through that path again and say, okay, that didn't work. I'm gonna adjust the way I love. I'm gonna adjust my kindness. I'm gonna adjust my graciousness. Why? Because you were worth it. You're worth it. So sorry that I hurt you. I really do love you. I wanna be the best lover possible. If we're willing to love not just the intent, but also the impact, and we own it, man, we could change the world. That will radically transform. If you're married here, that will radically transform your marriage. It will radically transform your working environment if you could focus on the impact instead of the intent. So here's what I want. I want just a reek of love. It's where we started. It's where we end. I want Cloquet Vineyard just to reek of love, that when we walk into a room, right? It's a weird analogy, but go with it, right? When you walk into a room, that people, like, the attitude changes. The temperature, the spiritual temperature changes in Cloquet. That changes in Esco. It changes in Carlton, Holyoke, Renshaw, Moose Lake, Barnum, Proctor, Hermantown, wherever we go, that we can bring such a selfless love, such a genuine love, that it changes the temperature. Let's walk in love. Let's be the best lovers possible. Where that starts, caught, not taught, where it starts is by experiencing Jesus. So what I'm going to do, have you stand up, and we're going to pray and ask God to come and experience his love. We're not that kind of couple. That's good. That's good. So I'm going to pray, and the worship team is going to make their way up. If you're here, I'm not going to make you identify yourself. I'm not going to make you, like, raise your hand. I'm not going to make you hop up and down. But as I was praying this week about this specific moment right here, I got a picture in my head of there's people here where you feel like we believe that we know that God speaks to us. He loves to speak to us because he loves us. And a good father shares life with, like, the people he loves. And one of the ways that he loves us, he communicates with us, is by, for me, it's sometimes I get pictures, or I might get like a little text message, or something like that. And the picture I got was there's people here where I get a picture of, like, you're in like a very small, like, cold, dark room. And there's a door, and out that door is just beautiful, wide open spaces. And you feel, I can never get out that door. You feel trapped, you feel isolated, you feel alone. And the idea of receiving love, not even the idea of loving, like, that's beyond that, but just even receiving love feels almost impossible, that you're not worthy of it, you don't deserve it. And, like, I'm going to pray in a little bit. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to, like, receive that, because living in that little room, it's a lie. The enemy wants to hold us under. The enemy wants to, like, destroy us. It actually, like, really wants to kill us. You don't have to tolerate that. There's a good and beautiful God that has a good and beautiful, like, life for you, not just later, but now. So if that's you, as I pray, just receive it, right? And the way I receive it, a simple thing I do is I hold my hand open as a way of saying, God, whatever you have for me, I actually really want. Will you put it in me right now? So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Like, God's tangible felt presence, we just say yes. Will you come? And I ask, God, that you would walk into that room. And when you walk into the room, you're different. You don't say, why are you sitting down? Why are you turning the lights on? What's wrong with you? Well, try harder. Get yourself cleaned up. When you walk into the room, what you bring with you is love. What you bring with you is that authority of that you are loved and you are beautiful. And we receive that love, we receive that light of the kingdom of God, we receive the beauty, the freedom and the hope. Will you come and set us free? Let us just even for a moment experience a love that goes deeper than the hurt, that goes deeper than the lies, that goes deeper than the abuse, that goes deeper than those words that just trap us. Will you come? And then I pray for this church, Holy Spirit, will you let us reek of love, that we can lay down our life for our friends, our family, our neighbors, and maybe even our enemies. That we can give love in such a way it changes the spiritual temperature. Carlton County, use us to be lovers. Teach us how to walk. Teach us how to walk. Amen. All right, so here's what we do here. If you're newer to the Vineyard, we have something called a ministry team. And they're going to make their way up to the front, and they're going to stand up here. And they just want to pray with you. They are people who are championing you. They want God to do good things in your life. And sometimes it's good to have a friend to talk with. Sometimes it's good to have a friend to pray with you. And they're going to ask you your name. They're going to look you in the eye. They're going to say, what do you want Jesus to do? It's going to be really short. They're going to put their hand on you, and they're just going to pray for you and with you. And so if you're here and there's anything you want prayer for, if it's you have a hard time receiving love, or maybe you're here and you're having a hard time giving love, you just feel like it's an obstacle to, maybe it's a person or a group of people, and you're stuck, and you want to change it, you don't know how, the people here would love to pray for you. Second thing is this, we believe that God heals. He heals emotionally, he heals intellectually, but we also believe he heals physically. If you're here today and you have some sort of physical pain, or you have some sort of maybe sickness, we'd love to pray for you. You know, we believe that God can heal and he wants to do good things. So we'd love to have you come up in prayer. We're going to worship for a while. Have a great Sunday, and thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard, and I'll see you this week at Common Table.